Scripture reading this morning will come from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made.
Thank you, Brother Paul, and good morning, everyone. It's good to see each of you here today. Glad that you're here. If you've not already turned to the first chapter of John, that will at least be our beginning place today. We may go a place or two other than that as we consider the pre-existence of Christ. As we begin a brand new year, I can think of nothing better to do than to talk about Jesus. If you don't have it right about Jesus, none of the other really matters. If you do have it right about Jesus, most of the other things will fall into place as we go along. And so I want to spend some time for the next several weeks talking about different things in regard to Jesus. I want us to realize, first of all, that Jesus Christ did not begin to exist when he was born in Bethlehem. He did not begin to exist when he was conceived in Mary's womb. Unlike us, Jesus existed long before his conception and birth. And by the way, that is not just a trivial intellectual point. I'm not emphasizing this today because I think you're going to be on Jeopardy, and you'll get that question right if the host asks you. It's more important than that. These are critical matters that directly bear on who Jesus is and what he did for us. And there is abundant confusion in the religious world on those very things. And so that's why we need to look today at the pre-existence of Christ, the fact that he existed long before his conception and birth. Well, how do we know that? As we look in the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 15, just a few verses down from where Paul was reading this morning, we see John the Apostle recording the words of another man by the name of John, commonly known as John the Baptist. I prefer to call him John the Immerser, because that's what baptism is, and I think that helps to eliminate some confusion that folks have about that. But anyway, John the Immerser said in regard to Jesus in the Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 15, "He who comes after me," now we know that John was the forerunner of Jesus the Christ, so he's talking about Jesus. "He who comes after me," he said, "is preferred before me, for he was before me." Now you might look at that sentence and think, man, that's complicated. That's a little convoluted. Well, let's just take that sentence apart and see what it is that we're talking about. He says, he is preferred before me. That is a term of rank. Now, John the Immerser was a prophet of God. Jesus the Messiah was the prophet. Not just a prophet, not just a great prophet, but the prophet. He outranked John, and John knew that. He said, I'm the one who's preparing the way for him, but he is coming after me. He is preferred before me because he was before me. Now that's an expression of time. In other words, he existed before I did. Now we know that Jesus was not conceived in the womb of Mary until John was already 6 months along in his mother Elizabeth's pregnancy. So this isn't talking about how old chronologically, in biologically, let's put it that way, how old biologically he was. He said he existed before me. How much before, John? How long before was that? Well, let's look at John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Now, we think sometimes of the expression Word, W-O-R-D, as being a series of letters that spell something meaningful. That's not what Word is talking about here. This is not talking about something that's in a book, a word that's in a book. But rather, as we drop down to verse 14, we see what it is. And by the way, most of our English versions put a capital W there, which is good, because this is a formal noun. This is talking about a person. And that person, as we read in verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's talking, of course, about Jesus. So Jesus is referred to there as the Word. The New Testament word is logos, and it gives us our word logo. What do you know when you're driving down the highway and you see the golden arches? That's McDonald's. That's their logo, right? And so you know that you can get off the highway there and you can get you a Big Mac or whatever it is that you're wanting, because that's McDonald's. That's their logo. Jesus was the logo, if you please, of God in a much more significant way. He is and was and always will be God. Now, is he the Father? No. Is he the Holy Spirit? No. But he's God. He is deity. And so we see that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word is indeed Jesus. Now, John records, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning. Where have we read that before? Could it be Genesis chapter 1? The opening words of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, Jesus already was. So we could accurately say he was before the beginning. Now that might sound weird until you stop and think about it. In the beginning was before the creation of the material universe. Jesus existed before the creation of the material universe. In fact, we'll find there that he indeed is the active agent in the creation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And what does that next part of the sentence say? The Word was God. Not was a God, small g. Our Watchtower friends, better known as the Jehovah's Witnesses, published their own perversion of the Bible, and they stuck the indefinite article a in front of that and put a small g, that Jesus was a God, little mini God, sort of. In fact, they, just between you and me and a fence post, they teach that Jesus was Michael the Archangel. Now, go ahead and get a hold of that. I'm not going to expand on that, but just realize that the scripture says Jesus was indeed God. Not a little God of some sort or another, not a little Baal God or an inferior God, but he was indeed God. So in the beginning, Jesus already was. We're talking here about the pre-existence of Christ, that he was already there. He was in the beginning, already there. And again, this is not just an academic matter. This is important. If Jesus is not eternal deity, if he is not God in the sense that he claimed to be, then when we confess, as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts 8, verse 37, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, it's meaningless. If he is not eternal deity, then that confession doesn't amount to anything. What a horrible way to look at things. That is one of the sweetest confessions that will ever be, that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. Just as my son is a human being, the Son of God is deity. He is eternal deity. And so, as we look in what Jesus himself said in John chapter 8, verse 58, before Abraham was, I am. Do you recognize I am? Where have we seen that before? You know, we were looking in Genesis a while ago. Let's fast forward to Exodus, shall we? Remember Moses sees the burning bush, and he's wondering, what is this all about? And he gets over there and he hears the Lord say, Moses, Moses, take your shoes off from your feet, for the ground where you are standing is holy ground. And the Lord is going to commission Moses to go back to Egypt and free those slaves, bring those Israelite slaves out of bondage. Oh no, I can't do that for 101 reasons. I can't possibly do that. Lord, you need to get someone else. Among other things, they're going to ask me, when I tell them that I've seen God, they're going to ask, well, what is his name? What did God say? I am that I am. That is an expression that indicates I am eternal. I am self-existent. Nobody created me. I just am. Not I came into being, but I am. The eternal, self-existent one. Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. And if you look there, look at the reaction of the Jews. They took up stones to kill him. Why would they do that? Jesus has just claimed to be God. They viewed that, erroneously, as blasphemy. Jesus was, is, and always will be eternal deity. He existed before the beginning. In Colossians 1, verse 16, by him all things were created. That agrees perfectly with what we've already seen from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 3. And we also find that in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, and verse 2. The things that he made, it's through him that everything in the world was made. So Jesus is indeed the active agent in creation. When you read there in Genesis, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, that's absolutely true. And Jesus was the active agent in that creation. Once again, our Watchtower friends bite the dust on this one. They insert the word other into chapter 1, verse 16, there in Colossians, and also into chapter 1, verse 17, twice, and again in chapter 1, verse 20. All other things were made by him. Their point is, they say Jesus is a created being, that the Father created him, and then Jesus created all this other stuff. So it's kind of a step down. No. The word other, Paul didn't write there. And if I remember correctly, it may even be that they were honest enough to put that word in italics. I don't have my little Watchtower translation with me. I have one in my office. But I do remember discussing this with those folks when they came to my door one time, and I challenged them on this very issue. I said, what does the Bible teach about adding to and taking from the word of God. Well, that's wrong. We shouldn't do that. Okay? You stuck the word other in there, what, three or four times in this one little passage? What if you just read it the way Paul wrote it and didn't add words to it? It would be so plain you'd have to have help to misunderstand it. Unfortunately, they want to supply some help. They don't believe that Jesus is eternal deity. And that's a terribly unfortunate situation. Jesus is indeed the active agent in creation. Now, let's also consider Jesus as what I'm going to call the condescending one. And I do not mean by that that he looked down on other people, as if to say, well, I'm just so much better than you, and I'm doing you a favor by associating with you. We're not talking about that kind of being condescending, but rather, he humbled himself. He lowered himself. And we've talked about this before, as a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the sacrifice of Jesus from a different angle. We looked at Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, where it talks about that though he was in the form of God, he emptied himself. He gave up temporarily the exercise of some of the attributes of deity. He emptied himself. And in that sense of the word, he condescended to be like us. He emptied himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. We talked about the splendor of heaven that Jesus gave up to come to this dark world of sin and sorrow and corruption. He became poor so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. He gave up the glory of heaven. We talked about a couple of weeks ago the prayer in John chapter 17, verse 5. Glorify me with the glory that I had with you before the world was. Remember, Jesus existed before the material creation ever came into being. And so he had the glory of heaven, and he was praying there as the cross loomed close on the horizon in John chapter 17. Glorify me with the glory that I had with you before the world was. Jesus also is the model of obedience. As we look in John, once again, in chapter 6 and verse 38, he says, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Look at that closely. I have come down from heaven. Unless he was pre-existent, how on earth could he come down from heaven? We don't say that about anybody else. You wouldn't say that about my birth. Well, Joe came down from heaven. No, Joe didn't come down from heaven. Joe was conceived and born right here on this planet, like all the rest of us were. But Jesus came down from heaven, not to do his own will, but the will of the Father who sent him. Now, without that perfect obedience, he could not be our once-for-all atonement offering, as the Scripture teaches that he is. So again, this is not just an academic question. This goes to the heart of who Jesus is and what he did for us as he went to the cross and shed his blood so that we might be saved, that we might have remission of sins, that we might have eternal life. This is not just a head knowledge question. This goes to some very, very, very important issues. Jesus is also our mediator. Now, what does one have to do to be a mediator? A mediator has to have something in common with the two parties that are estranged with one another. That's why you need a mediator. Here's one party, here's another party, and they're not together. So we need a mediator to bring the two together. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 5. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Now, wait a minute. We're talking about Jesus being God, and now Paul says the man, Christ Jesus. Was Jesus God or was he man? The answer is yes. He certainly was. Don't ask me how that can be, because I can't explain it. I don't know that I even comprehend it. But Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. He took upon himself human flesh. We call it the incarnation. Incarnate meaning fleshly. So he was God in the flesh. He took upon himself human flesh. And he did that so that he could be our mediator. To effectively mediate, as we said, there has to be that eternal self-existence. He had to be both God and man. And that is exactly what he is. Well, to be God as well as man, he had to have existed prior to his incarnation. And he affirms that he did that. John chapter 16, verse 28. He says, I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. So yes, indeed, Jesus came from heaven where he had existed eternally with the Heavenly Father, with the Holy Spirit, and then with all the holy angels whenever they were created. Jesus came from there and he said, I'm going back there. And we know that after the crucifixion and the resurrection, 40 days later, Jesus ascended and now sits at the right hand of God the Father, reigning over his kingdom, which is the church. The preexistence of Christ. Christ did not come into being by virgin conception. He already existed before that time. He did not come into being in Bethlehem's manger. He existed before that time. He is, was, and always will be eternal deity. He emptied himself, gave up the wealth of heaven, took upon himself a body of human flesh, obeyed the Heavenly Father's will in every possible way to absolute perfection. And that obedience culminated in his sacrifice as he went to the cross and gave his body and his blood so that we might be saved. He ever lives as our mediator. That's Jesus, the preexistent one. If you today would confess your faith in him as the Son of God, if you would put him on in baptism, having turned away from sin in genuine repentance, this or any other spiritual need is yours this morning, we're going to stand and sing the song that Jim announced to encourage your response. Let's stand together.